This is the story of all of us.
Hello, young people. It's June 2nd, and here we are again on that tiny spot, the giant staircase of time called Right Now. From this step called Right Now, we can look way back down and see everything that has happened before our time. We can see the peoples of other times, see what they did, see what their manners and customs were, and find out what they added to this fabulous story, the story of all of us.
If I were to ask you today, what is the most important city in the world, what would you say?
New York,
London, Paris,
Hollywood,
Rome?
Well, there are a lot of important cities, and most of them are in Europe or in America.
They all are important, for different things. But about the time of the first Olympic Games, the most important city in the world was in Asia.
This city was called Nineveh.
N-I-N-E-V-A-H. Nineveh.
On the Tigris River.
Nineveh, the city of the land called Assyria.
I remember Assyria, Babylonia,
and Chaldea.
Nineveh was far away from Rome.
On the Tiber River, where Romulus was beginning to build the city.
Nineveh was far away from Sparta.
And it is certainly possible that the people in that great city that we are going to tell you about had never heard of Sparta or Rome.
But they did know about the Egyptian kingdom.
They did know about David's city of Jerusalem in the kingdom of the Hebrews.
They did know about Ur in the Chaldees.
For the king that lived in Nineveh was the ruler of all those other people.
The chief thing that we hear about Assyria and the Assyrians is that they were fighting all the time with their neighbors. But this was not the fault of their neighbors.
The Assyrian king who lived in Nineveh wanted more power and more land. And so he made his subjects fight with their neighbors so he could take the land away from the neighbors.
You remember that the land around the two rivers, the Tigris and the Euphrates, wasn't very big.
People and tribes were always moving in and out, looking for places to settle where their herds could graze and they could live comfortably.
Tribes and peoples who are always moving around like this are called nomads.
Nomads.
Even today we have these nomads in the world. Nomads are like our cowboys in the West, or the Arabs who drive their herds from place to place trying to find the best place for the cattle to graze.
When we first hear of the Assyrians, they were nomads, just like the Hebrews and the Egyptians before they settled down in their own countries.
Just about the time that the Hebrews were coming into Canaan, the Assyrians came to a place where there was a big stone bluff on the bank of the Tigris River.
They thought that the top of this bluff would be a good place to put their tents.
And while their cattle grazed in the valley below near the Tigris, they knew that from this bluff they could watch all around them and not be driven away by any other nomads.
This was such a good place that they settled there. And they called their city Ashur. That is why they were called the Assyrians, or the Ashurians.
The chief god of their city was also called Ashur.
When the city got too crowded, some of the people moved to another bluff and they built a city there.
By and by, there were quite a number of cities on the bluffs that were more like forts than cities. And the most important of these cities was Nineveh.
And by, the Assyrians had so many forts, they were able to keep off all the Hebrews and the Babylonians and the Chaldeans and other nomads who tried to move into their valley. They drove away the Egyptian armies that were sent by the pharaohs. By this time, the Assyrians were so fond of fighting that they would rather fight than do anything else.
You mean they really liked to fight?
Yes. The great Assyrian city of Nineveh became known as
the City of Warrior Kings.
In 712 B.C., one of the great generals in the army of the Assyrians conquered Babylonia.
Then he made himself king and took the name of Sargon II.
Sargon? I remember Sargon I.
Of course you do. He was king of Babylonia.
Well, this king Sargon of Assyria, who took the name of Sargon, wanted people to know that he had conquered Babylonia. And so he took the name of one of the greatest kings who had ever ruled Babylonia. He called himself
Sargon II.
Sargon I, king of Babylonia, 3000 B.C.
Sargon II, king of Assyria, 712 B.C.
Sargon II and the Assyrian kings that followed him had long corkscrew curls.
Curls? I thought only girls wore curls.
Well, you may think that only girls wear long curls, but these kings who wore curls were great fighters and very powerful.
They were such fighters that they were feared far and near.
They invented terrible engines of war. Battering rams, towers on wheels that threw burning oil inside city walls, and machines that hurled burning arrows against the enemy.
They treated their prisoners cruelly, and then they bragged about it.
Assyria became so strong and powerful that at last she owned everything of importance in the world they knew.
The land between the rivers called Mesopotamia.
The land to the east.
And to the north.
And to the south.
And Phoenicia. And Egypt.
Almost everything except Greece and Italy.
This big, big country of Assyria was ruled by the kings of Nineveh, who lived in great magnificence.
They built wonderful palaces for themselves with foundations of stone. But the palaces themselves were of brick.
And the palaces were covered on the outside with porcelain slabs in enameled colors and engraved in other colors with pictures.
They placed rows of huge stone statues on either side of the streets leading to the palaces.
These statues were winged bulls and lions with men's heads.
These winged animals were called cherubs in the Bible.
I thought cherubs were babies.
Yes, isn't it strange that these hideous winged Assyrian monsters should be called cherubs too?
It sure is.
When the Assyrian kings were not fighting with men, they were fighting with wild animals.
They had pictures and statues made of themselves on horseback or in chariots, fighting with lions with their bows and arrows.
Often they would capture the animals they hunted and bring them back alive and put them in cages so that people would come and see them.
That sounds just like a zoo.
Yes. Except that in our zoos today, we take wonderful care of the animals and try to make them comfortable. But the Assyrians tortured the animals so that they would roar for the amusement of the people.
When the Assyrians went out to fight, they would take lions and tigers with them and turn them loose against the enemy.
The rulers of Assyria had very strange names. After Sargon, they had a king named Sennacherib.
Sennacherib, king of Assyria. 700 B.C.
The English poet, Lord Byron, wrote a poem about Sennacherib. At one time, Sennacherib was fighting Jerusalem.
The Assyrian came down like the wolf on the fold, and his cohorts were gleaming in purple and gold, and the sheen of their spears was like stars on the sea.
When the blue wave rolls nightly on deep Galilee.
His whole army camped one night, and when they lay asleep, something happened, for when morning came, no one woke up. All were dead.
Both men and horses. Like the leaves of the forest when summer is green, that host with their banners at sunset were seen. Like the leaves of the forest when autumn hath blown, that host on the morrow lay withered and strown.
What happened?
Nobody knows. The Jews thought it was the judgment of God on these people who had tried to conquer Jerusalem.
And the widows of Asher are loud in their wail.
And the idols are broke in the temple of Baal. And the might of the Gentile, unsmote by the sword, hath melted like snow in the glance of the Lord.
Ashurbanipal was another of their kings. He lived about 650 B.C. Ashurbanipal was a great fighter, but he also was very fond of books and reading. So he started the first public library in the world.
The books in that first public library were very peculiar. Of course, they were not printed books, and they were not even made of paper. They were made of clay, with the words pressed into the clay before it dried.
The writing was cuneiform.
I know, like chicken tracks.
Yes, the cuneiform looked like chicken tracks.
The books were not arranged in bookcases, but were placed in piles on the floor. They were kept in careful order and numbered, so that a person who wanted to see a book in the library could ask for it by number.
That's just like today.
Almost, except the books then belonged to the king, and he had his name written in them. And in every book in the library under the king's name was the following warning.
Whosoever shall carry off this tablet,
or shall inscribe his name on it side by side with mine own.
May Asher overthrow him in wrath and anger, and may they destroy his name and posterity in the land.
Though Assyria seemed so rich, everybody was so busy fighting that there was nobody left at home to cultivate the farms and enjoy the power that the Assyrian king was gaining.
The common people, the farmers, and the everyday citizens were all called away from home and put into the army.
The army was the only important thing in Assyria.
When the Assyrians went out to fight, the prisoners they had captured from other countries had to do the work at home. The people from conquered countries were settling down on the farms in Assyria.
Not long after King Ashurbanipal died, two neighboring countries attacked the Assyrians. The king of Babylon on one side and the Medes, the land on the other side, got together and attacked Nineveh.
Together they wiped that city right off the face of the earth.
This was in 612 B.C., and the power of Nineveh and Assyria was finished.
The fall of Nineveh, 612 B.C.
Have you heard?
No, what?
Nineveh is fallen.
To the marketplace.
Have you heard?
No, what?
Nineveh is fallen.
Nineveh has fallen.
When Nineveh fell, a man named Nahum composed a poem about it.
The Vision of Nahum, the Elkoshite.
Nahum was a Hebrew who had lived in the city of Samaria, which had been laid waste by the king of Assyria.
The whole kingdom of the Hebrews had been laid waste by the Assyrian army as it passed over the land on its way going to a war or coming back from a war. Only the city of Jerusalem had been able to hold out against the Assyrian army.
When the people of the kingdom of the Hebrews heard about the fall of Nineveh, they shouted and danced in the street.
Yeah. Let Nahum the Elkoshite speak!
Nahum recited this wonderful poem, which people agree even today to be one of the greatest and most exciting pieces of literature ever written.
And it shall come to pass that all they that look upon thee shall flee from thee and say, Nineveh is laid waste. Who will bemoan her? When shall I seek comforters for thee? The gates of thy land shall be set wide open unto thine enemies, and fire shall devour thy fire. Thy shepherds slumber, O king of Assyria. Thy nobles shall dwell in the dust. Thy people are scattered upon the mountains, and no man gathereth them. No man healeth thy bruise, though thy wound is grievous. All that hear this news of thee shall clap their hands over thee. For upon whom hath not thy wickedness been visited?
After Nineveh was destroyed, the Chaldeans who had moved into Babylonia became the most important people in the world, but they didn't learn very much from the fate of Nineveh.
They went right ahead and copied the way the Ninevans had lived and did all the same things and made enemies of their own.
And before long, the Babylonians found themselves in the same fix that the Assyrians had been in. But before this happened, the king of Babylon built something that was one of the seven wonders of the world.
And at the same time amazed his subjects by eating grass.
Do you know what the seven wonders of the world were? And which one was in Babylon?
Join us again as we continue, at the same time next week, The Story of All of Us, adapted for radio by Adele Nathan and Blevins Davis. Based on A Child's History of the World by V.M. Hillier. The story is told by the Choralites with Jack Wilcher. The musical setting is by Louise Wilcher.
This has been a public service feature of the National Broadcasting Company and its associated stations, and comes to you from the RCA Building, Radio City, New York.